For this morning's devotion, I will be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 1 to 10, which lays out the gospel, plain and simple. This past week, I had heard in one of these news briefings where President Trump said something quite telling of his biblical comprehension or lack thereof. For someone who claims to love God, and well, that's for God to judge if he truly loves him, and one who supports Christians and Jews alike, he is sadly very ignorant in the doctrine of salvation. If I could paraphrase what he said in this briefing, he was speaking about the peace treaty that he had helped broker for Israel. And he thought perhaps this would be something that would get him to heaven. Probably not, because he's not worthy of it, but maybe. That's what he was essentially saying. In this sad confessional, a little bit of rambling, he did manage to say something very biblical. He said he wasn't good enough, because none of us are. The Bible clearly states that we are all sinners and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3, verse 23. But I found it very sad that one who certainly is surrounded by a number of God-fearing Christians, I'm sure, and who professes to love God, thinks salvation is something that needs to be earned or could be earned. And that is certainly not the fact. How many, I think, who are surrounded by Christians, maybe sit in a church setting, profess a love for God, but truly do not believe the gospel or haven't considered it? I believe that was a concern of Paul's in his day as well, during that first century church. And we read of that concern as he shared in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where Paul declared the gospel plain and simple, not wanting any to be ignorant of it, and that they would not believe it vainly, as he says. And so if you want to read with me 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. And I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present. But some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James and of the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." The gospel is plain and simple, but it comes with tremendous power. It has not changed since it was first declared all the way back in the garden, when God declared it clearly to Satan that his head would be bruised as he would bruise the heel of the one who would bring redemptive power. Only those who truly believe upon it are saved. For if we believe it vainly or superficially, we've heard it but never really trusted in it, then we are not saved by it. We have not believed upon it. To believe it sincerely means to entrust your life and eternal destiny to God's saving grace. So what is this gospel that Paul speaks of? Verse 2 tells us we need saving. He needed saving. We all need saving from our sin, from certain death, and eternal hell. There needs to be an admittance of needing a Savior, a repentance from our sin. Verse 3 declares that Christ died for our sins. He is the complete payment. We're not going to add to it through our works. We're not going to make that salvation better. But we do good works out of faith in worship and praise to God who saved us. Verse 4, Christ Jesus was buried and physically resurrected the third day. The tomb was empty, a declaration that he had defeated death and that life everlasting was made available or possible for us sinners redeemed by his blood. And verses 5 to 9 speak of witnesses to the events that unfolded 2,000 years ago, that this was true historical, life-changing event. Verse 10 declares that if you truly believe this gospel of Jesus, not vainly, there will be an evident change in your life, in the way you think, in the way you talk, in the way you act. Not that we are yet perfect, for we still fall short, but you are a new creation in Christ. You may remember the popular cartoon Popeye, which was later adopted into a film. One of Popeye's most famous or popular sayings was, "I am what I am," or "I am what I am, and that's all that I am, for I am Popeye the Sailor Man." Whether E.C. Seeger, the writer of or creator of Popeye, borrowed influence from the Torah, I cannot tell, but that is exactly what God said to Moses when he said, "Who am I to say is sending me? I am that I am." That is the Lord God. I believe Paul certainly was hearkening back to that when he says, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." Ephesians 2 verse 8 says, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourself, it is the gift of God." When Paul received this gift, he knew his life was hidden away in Christ. In fact, he would later write that to the Colossians, in Colossians 3 verse 3, "For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Paul's new identity was in Christ, and Jesus said that he and his Father were one in John 10, verse 30. And then later in John's gospel, he prayed that high priestly prayer in John 17, where he prayed for the church. And he said that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me, and the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and has sent love and has loved them as you have loved me. God, as the great I am, is the only eternal self-existing being. Jesus, being part of the Godhead, identifies himself in the New Testament throughout it being the I am. And we who believe his gospel, his good news, have a new identity in Christ. We confidently proclaim we are who we are by the grace of God, made children of God, so that we know with assurance that we have an everlasting future with God in glory. And we are to be confident of this, not to believe this vainly, not to believe this gospel. For you only deceive yourself if you believe it superficially. But we are to be active in our faith. Let our faith be known. The fact that we are saved by God's grace should be evident. Paul concludes, and I will conclude with 1 Corinthians 15 in the last verse, verse 58, saying, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmoved, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And that should be the evident work within our lives.